and welcome to the Grand Cast, season number 2, episode number 11. Today is number 16 of month number 6 of year number 2017. It is a Friday, a hot summer Friday, late afternoon. Sun's still up. Birds are chirping. My guest this late afternoon is Anna Flora.
What's up? I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here.
Absolutely.
Sorry about the lack of air conditioning.
It's fine. I'm used to working in a sweatshop, so this is normal.
Helping save the environment a little bit at a time, hopefully.
Do you post it on your Tinder that you don't have air conditioning just so like when you get booty calls, they like are aware?
I neither use Tinder nor get booty calls, so not an issue.
Okay.
I tried it once.
No you good. Ended up dating her for 2.5 years.
No.
No.
It just made me feel bad about myself.
The booty call or the Tinder?
The Tinder.
The Tinder. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a lot of guy comedians, they swipe like 100 girls and they get like 1.5, which... Usually means like she's a bigger girl because she's like a 1.5. Yeah. Okay.
I got too many responses.
Oh, you had too many.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Okay, you wanted to feel more rejected.
I didn't feel special, yeah.
Wait, too many responses made you feel unspecial?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't feel like they were being very discriminating.
Oh my
in
God.
Their selection process.
You sound kind of like a girl right now.
Hmm. I like to start out the episode going over the mission statement and goals of the podcast. The mission statement being that the purpose of the Grand Cast is to explore the comedy scene in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as it exists in 2017 through a series of conversations. And then there's two goals. Goal number one, to post one new episode weekly. Goal number two, to make at least one person's day better through the creation of quality content.
Well, you made my day better because I'm excited to be in this unair-conditioned room.
Oh, great.
It's really
I'm
fun.
I'm going to check that off right now. And I did post an episode. No, I didn't. Did I? When was that? I'm going to check it off anyway. It was within the past week, I think.
Nice.
I think it was Saturday. Mr. Nolan Graff.
I know him. Is he the funniest person in Grand Rapids, right?
He is the reigning champion.
That's amazing. I'm not saying that he's not funny. I'm just saying good for him for winning. That's great. Someone local versus someone out of town winning Grand Rapids' funniest person.
Yeah. Congratulations, Nolan. And then I have a quick intern update before we get into the interview portion. There have been no changes. It is too hot out to think or to talk to people. I've suspended the search for an intern until next season, when hopefully the weather will be more cooperative. I mean, next Grand Cast season, not next weather season.
What kind of intern are you looking for? Like Monica Lewinsky intern?
Oh,
or like,
I didn't say it. You said it.
Yeah, like
more technical production.
So you want them to have audio experience, not oral experience?
Oral, A-U-R-A-L? Oral experience, yes.
Okay, got it. Just wondering.
Yep. Okay. Non-linear digital editing abilities.
Okay.
Social media skills. If they could work security at the door, that would be nice.
What are the benefits for them taking on this?
Priceless work experience.
Nice.
Really building up a resume for the future.
Okay.
That's the primary benefit, possibly the only benefit. Well, they get to watch and listen live.
Yeah.
Not many people get to do that in the whole world.
And they get to meet the local comedians of Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So networking, that's a big perk.
Cool. If I know anyone, I will send them over.
Especially old people. Like senior citizens who have already reached retirement age and have a lot of free time. That's the demographic I've been shooting for.
For listeners or for an intern?
Intern.
Oh, because they're smarter and they are going to die eventually and not...
Like everyone.
Like, they won't start their own podcast and try to compete with you.
They might.
Oh. Okay.
I would listen. I'd probably just shut down the Grandcast immediately and become a listener of their podcast. Oh, yes. So hopefully the weather will be more cooperative soon. And as the famous musician and chicken restaurant entrepreneur Kenny Rogers once said, you've got to know when to hold them. You've got to know when to fold them. You've got to know when to walk away and know when to run. So into the interview portion of the episode. Anna, what is your favorite color?
My favorite color is glitter.
Glitter?
I don't know if it's a color, but when I went to the Kesha concert, I felt like it was the color. It was so great. There were like beards with glitter. I don't know. I just love glitter. It gets everywhere. You look kind of slutty, but also like otherworldly, magical. Yeah.
Ethereal.
Ethereal. I love being in like meetings and you'll see like a dude and he like secretly has like glitter on his forehead and you're just like, how did that glitter get there?
There's always a backstory.
To the glitter, yeah.
It's usually not boring.
No, and it's hard to get rid of. It's really hard.
Yeah.
I love glitter.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that counts as a color, but that's my vote.
We'll count it.
Okay. It's 100% what I love.
If you had to be transformed into an animal, which animal would you choose to be?
I would like to be a whale because they travel. I wouldn't have to like book frequent flyer miles. I could just travel around the world all the time.
Hmm. Is there a particular species of whale?
I'd like to be a killer whale.
Killer whale?
Yeah. Pretty orca? Aggressive. Hmm. Yeah. I go to Alaska a lot. I've done comedy in Alaska and I've seen whales and they're just really badass. They're like 10,000 pounds and people don't really fuck with them until they kill them. So
yeah, that takes like 20 on one.
Right. It's pretty good odds. Yeah.
Yeah. So you go to Alaska a lot?
I go to Alaska probably once every 6 months and I do comedy there. They have a very tight knit comedy scene. It's in this bar that is like really wild, like Alaskan bar. It has all these different rooms. One room is all women's bras, like taped to the wall or like stapled to the wall. Another room has like a different theme. So, and there, this bar is like notorious for people being killed at.
Oh.
But it has a comedy night. It's called Chilkoot Charlie's. It has a comedy night once a week. And they're super cool, the comedians in Alaska. Very, like, close group of people, and they're really welcoming.
Huh. You ever go prospecting up there?
Meet for gold? Mm-hmm. Or men?
Gold.
Gold. I have not been prospecting for gold. Men are very, very good up there. It's a
good?
20 to get a guy. Oh. 20 to 1 ratio of men to women. Mm. So you, like, strike gold in the men area in Alaska.
So. That's tough. For the guys.
For the guys. It's a BYOG, bring your own girl. That's what I say about Alaska.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then there's like, there's very few black people, but they all do comedy just like here. So, you know, it's great. It's super fun to see, you know, just everyone putting their stuff out there, even though it's the same like 12 comedians every week.
Huh.
They're all doing the open mic and putting on shows. It's really cool.
You go up there in the winter or the summer or both?
I go up both. I have family that lives there. So it's really fun because then I can try out, you know, material in Alaska. And I think the saddest thing was last winter I went there for Christmas and I flew home and someone wrote me on Instagram and was like, I saw you at an open mic. I thought you were super funny. I can offer you this paid gig. And I was back in Michigan. So I was like, no. But, yeah.
What's winter like up there?
It depends where you are. Where my family lives, it gets dark about an hour before it does in Grand Rapids. But in the summer, it is nuts. It's light till like 2:30. Hmm. And then it's light again at like 4. So you get like 2 hours of darkness. So you just want to party and hang out all the time. Which is great. It's wonderful.
Do you know the capital of Alaska?
I think you just said it, right?
Yeah.
Juneau. Very cute. Very cute. I have not been to Juneau. You have to fly there. So it's really rainy and more rainforest there than where I go. I go to Anchorage. So, yeah.
You ever see bears?
I haven't seen bears except at the Alaskan Zoo. They have a really cool zoo. But I haven't seen them in the wild. I've seen moose before.
They're big.
They're really big.
Really big.
Really big. Yeah.
You ever go like fishing or hunting up there?
I do. I do a lot of fishing. I have a brother who every time I come, he gets a charter. So we have to like go deep sea fishing. And that's really funny. You're like on a boat with 7 other people you don't know, like Romanians from New Jersey that flew up to Alaska to go fishing. And they're like hitting on you. So I kind of pretend my brother's like my husband. It's really awkward, but it ends up being really fun. Besides the part where you pretend to participate in incest.
It's Alaska.
It's Alaska.
You ever go crab fishing?
I have not. That's very dangerous. So like, you know, the deadliest catch? That's crab fishing. Very dangerous. You make a ton of money. So I would do it, but I think my family would veto it.
Yeah. The juice is not worth the squeeze on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends how much money you owe to your, like, mob boss. If I was in that deep, maybe I'd do it.
If you need to disappear for a few months and come back flush, then...
Yeah, for sure.
All right. What is your earliest memory of experiencing comedy?
My earliest memory, my father lived in California, and I'd go visit him, and he would play... It was like a comedy channel. I was probably like 8 or 9, and he would play these comedians on the radio. And I remember thinking, I wish I had the ability to just think funny things up on the spot. But I'm so bummed that like I didn't inherit that that talent or quality. I had no idea that people spent hours and years sitting down, writing out jokes, thinking up jokes, telling jokes, re-editing jokes. So when I was little, I was like, it would be so fun to do comedy. I kind of thought it would be the ultimate way to get back at people. So also, like, well, my dad left. He left our family when I was like 7. And I kind of thought like, oh, it would just be so fun to tell like deadbeat dad jokes and like make him pay, you know, like on stage. But I was bummed. I was like, oh, I don't have that mind. There's no way I could ever do it. He knew I thought it was fun listening to comedy. And so he snuck me into a comedy show. It was a Jewish comedy show. All the comedians were Jewish and they were going to talk about Jewish holidays. And he just found it in the newspaper in San Francisco, but you had to be like 18. And he like snuck me in somehow. He said something like, you know, like she's just going to be here for a minute or whatever. And it was my first comedy show I ever saw, and I loved it.
Were there any good Rosh Hashanah jokes?
I remember there were like a ton of Hanukkah jokes. I can't like tell you what they were, but I was like, this is so great.
Some dreidel stuff.
Yeah, dreidel stuff. Latke. Yeah, all that stuff. I was like, this is the bomb. I think there might have been a rabbi telling jokes too.
Yeah, that sounds like something you won't find in Grand Rapids.
You would not, but in San Francisco, it's there.
Huh.
So
that'd be fun to see.
It would. I once tried to get on a show. I was visiting my dad again. I tried to get on a show at San Francisco, and the host was like, are you gay? And I was like, I'm not sure. I was younger at the time. And she said, well, you have to be gay to be on this open mic. So I was like, well, what if I say I'm bi? She's like, nope, not good enough. You have to be gay. And I felt really oppressed. I was like, what the hell? You know, I thought we fought for liberation, you know, during civil rights. And, you know, like, ugh, it was upsetting.
Equality, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Before I go to San Francisco next time, I'm going to try to be a little more gay.
Yeah. How did you first get involved in performing comedy?
I was living in Los Angeles when I was 21. I was spending time there. So I lived there for about a year, and I needed a job. So I got a job as an extra in TV and movies. And one of the jobs was being an extra on this horrible show called Comics Unleashed. I can't remember the host's name. It was like Byron somebody. So he, for 12 hours straight, I had to sit in the audience and laugh as he interviewed comics. And he would like say the same like routines to like set up for their jokes. He'd given them things to say like, oh, so I hear you were raised by a single mother. And then they would go into their jokes. So about 8 hours in, so I went in at like 8 a.m. and we got to leave at like 10 p.m. that night. At about, I would say like 8 hours in, I was like, I am never going to go see another stand-up comic ever. I hate this. It's horrible. And then this girl named Tiffany Haddish came on stage and she told jokes and I thought they were so funny. But the weird thing was they were all thoughts that I had had before about like making fun of our society. And I thought, oh my God, I have to try this. So my whole attitude changed and I called my mom that night and said like, I'm going to try stand-up comedy. And so from then on, I started going to open mics and I ran into her, the same comedian. I was at a taping of Snoop Dogg's TV show called Dog After Dark. It was on MTV. Have you heard of it?
No.
No. So he would interview people like Ludacris, Busta Rhymes, and there'd be like all these guys and girls in a club in LA hanging out. So I was paid to be an extra. I was hanging out, and guess who was in the VIP section? Tiffany Haddish,
hey.
Smoking weed with Snoop Dogg. So I went up to her and I said, Tiffany, I saw you on that show Comics Unleashed like a month ago. I thought you were hilarious, but I want to do stand-up now. And she was, and I thought like, okay, people are going to be like, no, don't do it. You're competition. And she was like, absolutely do comedy. Buy this book called The Comedy Bible by Judy Carter. And she said I should record my shows. And so that was kind of the start of my interest in doing comedy.
So you go back and re-listen to your sets afterward?
I tape all my sets, either video or audio. I really like Instagram. I think you get so much exposure from Instagram. I put up comedy clips. So when I do a show, I have someone film me. And then I go through and I edit it into like a 1 minute joke. I basically edit it down to one joke that I really liked that I did that night, put it on my Instagram. And within, I would say like 24 hours, I'll have like 200 views. And I get comments from people in Los Angeles, New York, pretty much like everywhere that'll say like, oh, I thought you're really funny. And obviously, I have no idea if they're like stealing my jokes or they actually like them or it's spam. But I think it's really good exposure. And it's just like a really fun experience. And I find that more people are interested in coming to my shows if they've seen me on Instagram and they are like, okay, I kind of get her sense of humor, than if they're like, I have no idea what Ana Flor would be like. So,
yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I met Joan Rivers before I started doing comedy, and I asked her about doing comedy, and she said that we absolutely need more women doing stand-up and that I should record every show and re-listen to them all the time. And if a joke doesn't do well on the third try, just throw it out. So Everyone I met in the beginning was like, even really famous people like Joan Rivers, so supportive.
Yeah, it seems like a very welcoming community. What are some of your all-time favorite comedic movies?
I'm pretty much a basic bitch, so I really liked Superbad. I thought it was super funny.
So good.
So good. It was so funny. I laughed like all the time. I really liked He's Just Not That Into You. There's a couple comedians in it, like Natasha Leggero has like a little cameo. That whole, so I saw the movie of He's Not That Into You, and I thought it was so funny. And then I read the book, and it's by like two comedy writers who did it. And it's, the book is super, super funny. But I think, I mean, there's so many good comedy movies. I really like modern ones. I know a lot of people are into like old school, but I go to
the movie Old School.
No, they're into like old school, like, you know, like Mel Brooks movies or Woody Allen. I think Woody Allen's old movies are really funny, but I hate his new movies, like Midnight in Paris, Match Point. I wish I could go into like my mind and like erase those memories. Hated it. But
like Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah, right. I hated that movie too, but I would use that technology and like wipe my mind. Yeah. Other movies, I think Seth Rogen's really funny.
Yeah.
I think he's super funny. So I've seen his stuff. I liked Easy A. I think it's a funny idea pretending that you're a whore and you're not.
Who's in that one?
Emma Stone. She like pretends to be like almost like a prostitute around school. And
I don't know if I saw that.
Yeah, it's a funny like coming of age movie. But yeah, it's great. There's a lot of great stuff out there.
What are some of your all-time favorite television shows?
So I don't watch a ton of TV, but I loved The Mindy Project when it first came out, the first season. I thought it was really super funny. I watched Chelsea Lately's show on Netflix. I think it's funny. She'll have these like dinners where they'll all sit around the table and like talk shit to all her friends. And it reminds me of my life. In high school, I really liked Weeds. I thought that was like wonderful.
Yeah. And then it kept going and going and getting weirder and weirder. And Shane was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe sometimes I laugh at shows that I don't know are funny. Like Flaked. Have you seen that with Will Arnett? Like, I don't think it's supposed to be funny. Like, I think it's like a drama, but I find myself laughing at it because he's pretending to be a recovering alcoholic, but he is an alcoholic. It's more like sad, but I find it to be funny. Same with 13 Reasons. Like, have you seen 13 Reasons? It's about a girl who like is bullied in school and kills herself.
Oh.
But there were like parts of it I thought were so funny that she was like so offended by things that the kids did that I thought were kind of hilarious. So,
thank you. What streaming shows are you currently watching?
I watched Flaked and Black Mirror, which I know is also done by a comedy writer in England.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, yeah. I guess he does like the current events shows that are like, I think that's what he does in England.
Okay.
Kind of like the Daily Show style.
Right. He was on Terry Gross and he like talked about how, like, he was a comedy writer, and when he thinks about writing for Black Mirror, he just really lets his, like, mind wander to the weirdest places possible. I think my favorite episode of Black Mirror is the one where you're constantly checking your rating. You might have seen that one.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's just, like,
five stars.
Yeah, like, everything in life is, like, Instagram, where you're like, where am I? 8.5. 7.5. So.
And you fuck up once in public, and it's just, like, boop, 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 and then you're done.
Yeah, But in some ways, life is kind of like that. I knew a kid that went to Christian High, and he said that there was a kid that had punched another kid in second grade, and they're seniors, and no one would still talk to him. So in some ways, like, stuff does follow you a long time, and in some ways, people have a short memory. I guess it depends what you do, how violent it is.
Yeah. Have you ever tried forms of comedy other than stand-up?
Yeah, for sure. So I like to write funny surveys. I wrote a dating survey. Do you remember when the Occupy movement was happening?
Oh, yeah.
You totally remember it. I wrote a dating survey for Occupy participants to take part in so they would find their Occupy soulmate. And so it was like A, B, C, D. It was like, is your dream date A, being in the cop car with the other Occupy member after you've been arrested, B, dumpster diving in the moonlight, C, shoplifting at Goodwill. And then, you know, it was really fun. So I like doing surveys. I really like making videos. That's probably my favorite thing to do. I like to report on, I don't know if you've seen my Instagram, I do breaking news with Ana Flora. So that is not stand up, but it's like when a burning building is near me and I'll just be like, this is Ana Flora reporting live. This building just caught on fire. And then I'll interview people and I pretend to be a reporter, but obviously it's ridiculous because I'm not. So
it's all just spontaneous, like completely. No scripted video stuff. Just
unscripted. Okay. I love doing those kind of like live update videos. They're my favorite. I did a video. I was in Meijer and I saw this this alcohol. It was called White Girl. It was called White Girl Rosé. And so I did this whole like video with the rosé, and I was like, for when you're feeling like a basic bitch, White Girl Rosé. And that one, I think that one's at like 600 views on my Instagram. But I think it's so fun. Or I'll see a funny bumper sticker in the Meijer parking lot. It was like a picture of the Starbucks girl with two guns. And it was like, I love my coffee and my guns. And so, yeah, I did like a whole little video about that. I was like, who knew rednecks drank Starbucks?
You know? Yeah, so, it's an interesting crossover there.
Yeah, I love making videos. It's probably, it's up there with writing. So my favorite things to do are write jokes and then my other in the form of comedy, is also making videos. I think I like it better than stand-up. So,
do you ever write like sketches at all, or is it all jokes?
I have ideas that I think I could turn into sketches, but I haven't. I think I'm too lazy to actually follow through on them and make them into sketches. I'm trying to think of what else. I've done comedy shows that involve improv. So I haven't taken improv classes, but it's like this happened in Kalamazoo. There's like a pitcher of random questions and you just like pull it out and, you know, whatever the question is, like, where did you have your first kiss or, you know, whatever it is. And so that's like doing improv, but it was tied to my stand up. So I would do 10 minutes of stand up and then have to do this like improv on the spot thing. So
nice. I've seen you do stand-up a few times, and I was wondering if you could please talk about doing blue comedy.
So you've probably seen my shows. They're pretty dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about anal sex and, yeah, all of the above. Yep. I just find that people love it in Grand Rapids. They love blue comedy, and I think it's because we're such a conservative town and people are really closed off sexually, that when they go to comedy shows, they love it. I've done comedy in Ann Arbor, and they don't like dirty humor. And I think kind of like the younger and hipper you are, the more like hipster you are, and the more you're into like jokes about Facebook or, I don't know, whatever, like man buns or, but you just are kind of like the sex stuff, you're not so into it. But in Grand Rapids, people love it. And I personally love writing dirty jokes. I would say that's my favorite, like writing abortion jokes, Tinder jokes. I just love them to pieces.
So when you go to other cities that aren't as receptive, do you do different material?
Yeah, I did comedy at Candlestone that was in Belding, and my really dirty material, it went over, but the joke, I told one joke about getting my motorcycle endorsement. And I had like 9 people come up to me and they were like, I drive motorcycles. I had a similar experience. And so that was a really good learning experience for me. Like, look at your audience. If they all look like rednecks that drive motorcycles, you know, write more motorcycle jokes. So I definitely think that I do tailor my material to my audiences. At the open mics around here, not so much. When I do paid gigs, if I know I have to be clean, I'll do clean material. But people usually complain and wish I was dirtier when I do an all clean set. Like audience members, I'll be like, why didn't you tell more dirty jokes?
Thank you. What is the best gift that you have ever received?
For in life or comedy? In life.
Life.
The best gift when I turned 21, my dad gave me $6,000 that he had invested since I was little, and because of that, I was able to get braces, so I could look younger in my 20s. So when I was giving blowjobs, I don't know. It was hard though. I'd get hairs like stuck in the braces. It was tough. These are jokes, people. So that was a good gift. I recently got the coolest gift ever. I had my birthday and my best friend gifted me with master classes of dead mouse.
Oh.
So I can like, I really want to learn how to make electronic dance music. So I like watch his little videos, dead mouse's videos. And it's so funny. He doesn't ever look in the camera and he's like polishing his mouse helmet a lot. You know, dead mouse wears like a giant mouse helmet, and yeah, he'll be like talking and all of a sudden he's like polishing the helmet, and it's just so funny. But I don't know. I feel like I'm really lucky. I feel like people give me stuff randomly. Like I play music and so I'm gifted like violins. I have like 4 violins that people gave me, guitars. I'm kind of like the receptacle of people's lost dreams. Like when they're like, I am going to quit music forever and become an accountant, I'll just give all my musical instruments to Ana Flora. So I appreciate it. It's cool.
Dead Mouse does live streaming on Twitch TV as he produces his music.
Really? Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
He also plays Rocket League.
What's Rocket League?
It's like indoor soccer, but with cars instead of people.
That's really intense. Yeah, he's an interesting guy. Like he seems like an asshole, but he's like so good at what he does.
Yeah.
I don't care. I personally don't care if artists are assholes if their art's like really amazing. If they're like sort of like, then I might care that they're pedophiles. But
yeah. Do you use Ableton for the music or?
I have a tractor, but I'm going to buy either Logic or Ableton in the near future. Dead Mouse uses Ableton, so I think it'd be easier to kind of follow in Dead Mouse's footsteps with Ableton. Wow, I'm impressed at your electronic music knowledge. That's right, you're an audio guy.
Not really.
No.
It was just, I ran with a crowd who was really into
making music.
Clubs. And, yeah. No, not even making, just consuming music. So okay. I listened to a lot of Dead Mouse and like house music, and then saw a little bit of like the technical side, like all the equipment and like the oscilloscopes and whatnot that they use to generate the musical tones and patterns. And technically, it's very impressive. There's a lot of math and science that goes into it.
Yeah.
And
you want to make something really good because it could be like the last song that someone hears before they OD.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so you want your beat to be like worth dying to, you know.
What is the best gift that you have ever given?
Oh, God. What? I wish you could like look into my brain and tell me. Oh. I think I'm pretty generous. I like write people letters. So I think giving my time has been like when I went to Alaska last Christmas, I put on Facebook and Instagram, if you want a postcard, give me your address. So I sent out 70 postcards, some to people as far as like California, New York, all over. So I think maybe I like handwrite people and I make them funny, which is, I think, a really nice gift.
Yeah, that is nice. All right, this is a short segment called Affirmation. So, Ana, you are a very talented and accomplished comedian. Thank you for being a part of the Grand Rapids comedy community.
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm here not by choice, you know, as a Grand Rapidian. I was born here, and I think sometimes it's hard to leave. It's like there's like a little magnetism keeping you here.
Yeah, because it's the best. Why would you want to go somewhere else?
In some ways, I do think it's really good to be in the Grand Rapids comedy scene because if I was in New York, there's like 5,000 billion people trying to be comedians. Whereas in Grand Rapids, They're, I don't know how many.
67.
You would say, is that how many? 67? Yep. Like, okay, so we have 67. I am recognized so often. It's amazing. Whereas if I lived in New York or LA, no one would come up to me. It's, I would say when I go out downtown, at least once a night, someone will be like, I saw you at Dr. Grin's. You're super funny. Or I saw you at Tip Top. I was filming a breaking news segment in front of Luna because I was eating dinner there and the building next door caught on fire.
Oh.
So they had to evacuate us. And I was like, this is breaking news with Ana Flora. There's a fire. And this guy walked by and he's like, hey, I've seen you do comedy at Holiday. It was in the video. So in Grand Rapids, I think you're really like noticed and appreciated, which is really cool.
Yeah. Do you do the open mic at Tip Top?
I do the open mic at Tip Top. I haven't been there in a few months.
Tuesdays at 9.
I think I do Holiday a little bit more just because Mondays are a little bit easier. But I like both of them. I think they're both really fun. So I try to support it as much as possible because I think if the comedians aren't out there whenever they have a free night and they're not working, you know, I think these venues will die out. So we got to support.
Yeah. Tattoos?
I don't have any tattoos. I have a temporary tattoo that I like put on a new temporary tattoo once a week on my arm because I love tattoos, but I don't know what I want to get. And people think it's real.
Oh.
I do have my belly button pierced. So I was, that was not consensual. Mm. I was like forced to do it. So
against your will.
Against my will. I was visiting my friend in Myrtle Beach, and she's like, yeah, I'm going to go get my belly button pierced. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to hold your hand. And she's like, no, you're going to do it with me. And I was like, no way. And I went in with her, and the next thing I knew, I was laying on the table, and someone was shoving a sharp needle down my belly.
Oh.
But I've kept it. I think it's cute.
So you do want a tattoo?
When they have glitter tattoos, yes.
Ah.
That's when I will.
It's a million-dollar
like,
idea. Nobody's
yeah, when
doing
it's,
it.
When it's like gold and I can look like an Egyptian goddess, I'll get it. For sure.
What are some of your favorite restaurants in Grand Rapids, and what do you like to order there?
I love Brown Butter Creperie. It's a new in Easttown.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crepe shop, and I order the Tuscan crepe. It's wonderful.
What's in that?
What's in it? Chicken and peppers, cheese, pesto. It's wonderful. But I actually don't eat out a ton. I try to stay really, really healthy. And it's really expensive. So I eat at Brown Butter Creperie because it's in Easttown.
Where is that?
It's right on Wealthy Street. It's been there 4 months. I also go to Early Bird Cafe, which is in Easttown. But I go and usually just get coffee. I don't eat out a whole lot. I'm gluten-free and sugar-free, and so I think I'm a pain in the ass to eat out with. French fries, though, mm-hmm. That's where it's at. So for French fries, that's like my, I would say like my secret terrible food that I eat.
Top five French fries.
Oh, my God. I love the ones in Easttown. Is it Sammy's?
Sammy's. The Pita House.
The Pita House. Yeah. I love their like French fries. Brewery Vivant has amazing French fries. Mm. Graydon's Crossing, amazing French fries. I'll eat the ones at Stella's. They're more shitty, but you know.
A lot of salt.
Yeah. Other places. I'm trying to think of my like last one. I don't know. I used to eat them at the Riverfront Hotel when they had comedy. I'd be hitting those. So.
Have you had Johnny B's?
French fries? I have. Usually I'm so drunk when I'm eating them that I can't really tell you how great they are. Don't.
When they're really fresh, they're really good.
They're really good.
That's probably my favorite. Waffle fries at Cottage are
real. I've had those too. We need to start Instagram that's like French fries of Grand Rapids, but I would get really fat making that Instagram. So it'd be rough.
You could only eat one.
Like one
place.
A week, maybe. Yeah, it sounds great.
There's one fry at each place.
One fry. There we go. It would be like Barbie's fry.
If you could tell your 16-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
Oh, my God. What would I tell myself?
Mm-hmm.
I would try to tell myself to try everything because I think you don't know what you're good at until you try everything. So I think just staying really narrow and saying like, oh, I'm just going to do what I've done since I was little is bad. I think trying a lot of things. And also, if I was 16, I would have dropped out of high school if I could do it again. I would have quit high school, been emancipated, gone to GRCC. I just think the compulsory education system sucks. So, yeah. I think I would have told myself to drop out of school and tried more things. Not like heroin things, but like, you know, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
Working at a restaurant, cutting hair, whatever new exciting thing I wanted to try, but I was too afraid at 16.
Thank you. Now there's a couple little like mini games.
Oh, I cannot wait.
So let's play improv scene suggestions. I go to a lot of improv shows.
Okay.
And they're always asking for these suggestions. And I've run out of ideas. So I've been asking local comedians for their suggestions so that I can reuse them. So if you wouldn't mind giving me a location, please.
I want to be at the Trump Tower while there's protesters outside. You know, like kind of like trying to walk into my hotel room, but like being screamed at by protesters. Okay.
A location that would fit on the stage at Dog Story Theater.
Oh, God. I've done comedy at Dog Story. Location. Maybe like the hot tub inside the men's locker room. I think that would be really fun.
Like a YMCA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that'd be great. I feel like there's a lot of room for interaction there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of balls.
Lot of balls.
A noun?
You got to tell me what a noun is.
Person, what's your thing?
I know. I just wanted to see if you really thought I didn't know. Okay. A noun.
I take everyone pretty much literally all the time.
That's good. That's great. Dog?
A verb.
Running?
A color.
Purple?
An occupation?
Cosmetology student?
A letter of the alphabet.
R?
A relationship between two people.
Depressing?
A word. Any word.
Quaint.
The last thing you paid money for.
The last thing I paid money for. Hold on. I didn't pay any money today. I didn't spend any money. Yesterday. What did I do? Oh my God. The weed is setting in. What did I do yesterday? Oh my God. Hold on. We might have to, like, retrace a minute.
Okay.
I gotta think. I think I got gas. I think that... Was that the last thing I paid for?
Gasoline.
I think we'll gasoline. I think that's it.
A genre of movie.
Science fiction. My favorite.
Mine too.
Oh, nice.
There's been some really good sci-fi movies lately. Yeah.
Which ones did you like?
Ooh. Probably Interstellar. Incredible. There's been a lot of good AI ones that were interesting. Her with Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, I hated that one.
Really?
It reminded me of all my relationships because they're all like so tech heavy that it's...
Yeah.
It was, I think, too much PTSD.
That's fair. Ex Machina.
That was good.
That was kind of a trip.
Yeah.
Moon.
Loved Moon.
That was also a bit of a...
Oblivion?
Goddamn kind
of... You like Oblivion?
Which one was Oblivion?
Tom Cruise.
Oh. That's one of those things where the artist is so off the wall that it ruins the art for me.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to separate those things.
Okay.
Arrival. I thought that was very good.
I thought that was like cheesy. But, yeah, I don't know.
Life was recent. Life. It wasn't boring. It wasn't great. Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal. up in the space station.
Oh my God, with the creepy monster. I couldn't stay. I left after 30 minutes. I thought it was too scary.
It was pretty scary.
Yeah, I think that should have been horror. It was like horror in space. So I don't know what happened.
It was very alien-esque.
I think I left when the captain was like floating around in outer space. Ooh. And that was like, I walked out. I left that one and I left Trainwreck. I couldn't stand either of the movies.
Trainwreck? What's that one?
With Amy Schumer.
Oh.
I just thought it was so unbearable that I had to get up and leave.
What are some of your favorite sci-fi movies?
Oh, man. They're like all gone out of my head right now, but I know I have them. If you list sci-fi movies, I'll be like, yes, amazing.
Fifth Element?
That's really fun. That's a fun one. Minority Report. Mm. So I'm going to mention Tom Cruise movies. Minority Report.
Before he jumped the shark.
Yeah. For me. I'm trying to think of other ones that. I don't know. There's some fun ones where they're like on a train and they're like on the train again.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
That was like a time loop thing. Yeah. You
I think those are really interesting, the time loop ones. Or like the lake house with Keanu Reeves where you're like, is this happening? Is it not? So, I really like time travel.
There is a recent anime movie. I don't know if you're down for that. It's called Your Name.
I wanted to see it, and I have not seen it yet.
You'll enjoy it.
Yeah. There's not a lot of girls that like sci-fi, so I think we're unique for sure.
All right. Moving on. An emotion.
Sadness.
The first line of dialogue.
Oh, I think I lost my hat.
A page number.
47.
A place you might go on a first date.
The city morgue.
Not be a boring first date. Memorable. A place you might go on vacation.
Fiji.
A problem.
Finding money for your abortion.
An animal.
Narwhal.
Something that would fit in your pocket.
A tooth.
Three objects that might be in a room.
Microwave, vaporizer for your weed, and how about a toaster?
The last thing you ate.
I ate potatoes with butter from an Amish farm and had salt.
Were the potatoes from the Amish farm also? Just the butter?
Just the butter. They're from Fresh Thyme. I get... we have Amish dairy from an Amish farm.
Nice.
So.
Something you might get into an argument over.
Oh, God. Donald Trump.
Yeah.
My whole family is, like, so divided. It's rough. My dad said he would disown me if I didn't vote for Hillary. I mean, that's, like, intense. I think that's intense.
Yeah, but they don't know how you vote, so.
Yeah.
Something you are scared of.
Never finding what I'm really good at.
It's a good one. The title of a movie that has not been made.
I Don't Know What You Did Last Summer.
I can't help but laugh at a joke about...
I mean, I laugh at all, like, everything. I really like political jokes, though. So I can't help but laugh at a joke about, like, school mass shootings, Donald Trump. I mean, I was making jokes about the Ariana Grande incident. I thought it was so funny.
What was funny about it
to you? To me? Well, because there are so many things. Like, she paid for the funerals of everybody. She offered to pay for the funerals of, like, everybody that got blown up. So I was like, oh, before my mom dies, I got to make sure she dies in an Ariana Grande concert. You know, I think mass casualty incidences are so funny. So, yeah, I got to work on my senator baseball shooting jokes. So,
do you like George Carlin?
Yeah, for sure.
Did you listen to his final, like, the unreleased album? I Kind of Like It When a Lot of People Die.
I have not heard it. I read his book. And he's got, like, multiple books. I've read one of them. And I've heard, like, the five words you can't say. Or, mm-hmm. Yeah.
on television.
Like, yeah, yeah. But I'll have to check it out.
He recorded it September 10th, 2001.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm sure it was great.
I wonder if he felt guilty.
No, I don't think so. I don't really think you should feel guilty. I think it's great to make jokes about stuff.
Nothing's off limits?
For me, there's nothing I don't write about. No. I just do everything. But when I first started doing comedy, I used the N-word in a couple jokes. It was really funny, but I got blowback from some black people in the audience, and some thought, like, came up to me and said they thought it was hilarious, but I don't use that word anymore. But I was maybe good. A little more brave when I was younger.
The final improv scene suggestion, please. I've always been lucky, but I never thought I'd be able to
do yoga. I do yoga now.
Nice.
And I can, like, do the frog thing where I, like, put my hands on the ground and I'm, like, balancing on my hands upside down.
Hmm.
No, it's pretty, very nice. Pretty sexy.
And that was improv scene suggestions.
Did I score, like, a 12 out of 30?
I haven't been scoring them. Maybe I should.
I feel like everybody wants their Yelp review, like, every minute of the day.
It was 5 out of 5.
Okay.
Perfect score.
Ugh, the best.
I'm a pretty binary person, so It's either thumbs up or thumbs down. It's got to be pretty bad to be a thumbs down, so thumbs up.
So sweet.
Let's play Guess My Number. So I am thinking of a number that is greater than or equal to 1 and less than or equal to 1 million. And you have one chance to guess what it is.
Greater or equal to 1.
Mm-hmm. Between 1 and 1 million, inclusive of both 1 and 1 million. And I'm thinking of it, I'm projecting it telepathically at you to test your reception abilities.
I think it's 37.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Oh my God. I'm just so depressed now. We don't have a psychic connection.
Let's play Read Me Song Lyrics. So if you wouldn't mind, please reading me those song lyrics in the style of spoken word poetry.
Okay. On a warm summer's eve, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with the gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns a-staring out the window at the darkness. The boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces, knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind me saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'd give you some advice." Do you want me to read this entire thing?
Yes, please.
"So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. He said, 'If you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You've gotta know when to hold 'em, and know when to fold 'em. Know when to walk away, and know when to turn. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away and knowing what to keep. Because every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser. And the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep.'" What an uplifting song. You want me to continue?
Please.
I can't wait how it finishes. He's probably going to die of cirrhosis of the liver. Am I right? Okay. "And when he finished speaking, he turned back towards the window, crushed out his cigarette, and faded off to sleep. And somehow, I messed up. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But his final words were, 'I found an ace that I could keep. You've got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, and know when to walk away. and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Oh, it's great.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. So you guys just realized I have about fourth grade reading abilities.
That was The Gambler by Kenny Rogers, one of the greatest gambling songs of all time.
Yeah.
I used to play a lot of poker, so.
My whole family are gamblers. Like, so my dad like counts blackjack cards. He can count up to 6 decks at once.
Hmm.
Oh, really good abilities.
There's a lot of metaphor in the song, or what's the word I'm looking for? It's not analogy. It's like when you tell a lesson through, not a parable, allegory. Yes. I got there. It's a very allegorical song. If you get enough into gambling to understand the context, I guess. So this next segment is called Member. It's a nostalgia segment. So what is something that you remember fondly from your childhood?
I remember going to Lake Michigan with my dad and mom and just like running in the water. And I still go a lot. And I just, that's probably my favorite part about Michigan is Lake Michigan in the summer.
Beautiful beaches.
Beautiful.
This segment is called Looking Forward. What is something that you are most looking forward to in the future?
Something I'm most looking forward to? I guess I am hoping that I have some Apple stock. I'm looking forward to the iPhone 8 coming out because then my Apple stock will hopefully go up. It's been going down the last couple of days. But I'm looking forward to doing more comedy. You know, I just seeing where everything takes me. I'm going to be in Alaska next month in July. So I'm going to do comedy there. And I'm looking forward to that. So that'll be great.
Thank you. Do you have any Amazon stock?
I don't have Amazon stock. So I have Nintendo stock is doing the best right now.
Switch is killing it.
The Switch is killing it. I bought it.
Mario Odyssey October 17.
What is it?
Mario Odyssey.
Oh, nice. That's great.
I'll buy one.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
My stock is up 50% since I bought it. So I bought it. I buy stocks. I don't have a ton of money in the stock market, but it's more like a fun gambling thing for me. And also to learn about finance. So I bought Nintendo stock, and I bought it at 28, and now it's up to almost, I think it's at 40. Mm. And I bought it during the Pokemon Go era.
Ooh.
I have Spirit Airlines stock because they have terrible customer service. And when I realized that, I was like, I should buy stock in their company. They're really cheap. It's great. The other one I have stock in is Netflix. Ooh. I just thought like everybody's Netflixing and chilling. It's a word. Yep. It's got to be a good stock.
It is.
So, but Amazon is a very good stock. If you have it, you're lucky.
They just bought Whole Foods today.
Oh my God.
$13 billion.
Crazy.
Yep.
Do you have Amazon stock?
I am stockless.
Oh, I thought you were like, I cannot comment.
No.
This podcast does not endorse stock options.
I think the stock market is basically a casino and the house never loses, but the players lose frequently.
Yeah.
So I'd rather invest in my own projects and ideas.
Good for you. That's great.
This segment is called Plug Your Social Media and Upcoming Events.
So I have no upcoming events because I'm traveling for a month all over the West Coast. So I'm hoping to do comedy while I'm in California and Alaska. But the best way to follow me is on social media. And I believe my name on social media is AnnaFlora1. I want to make sure that is the right username before I give it out. So it's AnnaFlora1, and how you spell it is AnnaFlora and the number 1. So I currently have 1,354 followers. Please help get me to 2,000 followers. I will post a topless picture if you guys get me there.
This final segment is called Just the Tip. So if you could please offer just one tip to other aspiring comedians.
Oh, just one?
Just one.
Just one?
I guess you can do more.
I think that it helps me that I don't drink before shows. So I am sober when I perform, and I will smoke weed or have a beer after if I feel like it. But I always perform sober. I performed once having had edibles, and that was like really rough. I could not remember my jokes. So I would say performing sober, I've met a lot of people that have said like, oh, I could never perform without having a beer. And so I think you need to be at your funniest comedy level sober, because if you do comedy always drunk, then you like are so dependent on it and you don't even know what your real abilities are. Because even if you're bombing sober, then you know like, oh, I got to get better.
That's a good one. Thank you. And thank you for being here tonight, Anna. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, good. I didn't like interview you. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. Is that okay? Yeah. Some people try that, and it's completely against protocol.
Okay. I enjoy being a comedian in Grand Rapids. I think it's fun. I think the hardest thing about being a comedian can sometimes be not being funny at work.
yeah.
I just find that to be really challenging. So I was at my work, and I work at a gym, and this guy walked in, and he's like, I locked my car keys in my car. Do you guys have a metal hanger? And like the first thing I wanted to say was like, I'm sorry, we're a pro-life facility. But like, I can't say that because I'm at work. So I have to be like, we don't have a hanger, you know? So I think, you know, that's something that's tough. But so it's great. You have a job as the Grand Cast Master that you can be funny at your chosen hobby work.
Mostly unintentionally, but it happens from time to time, yeah.
That's great.
This isn't my job.
Dream job. Like,
no. No. Nope. Just a one-year project. I'm doing 4 seasons of 12 episodes corresponding to the solar cycle and 48 comedians, local comedians.
Cool. Well, I'm happy to be one of the 48.
Yeah.
Because probably by the time you're done, I'll have quit comedy. So we can preserve this moment.
Be just till the end of this year. I started January going through December. So
cool.
Hopefully you're still around in December or January, I guess.
Yeah. I always think about quitting comedy and then I'm like, it's so entertaining and fun. And there's nothing really like it.
Well, thanks again for being here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back again next week with an all new episode of The Grand Cast.
Nutty butters undercovers, watch me suffer while you buffer, while you stutter. I'm discovering your mother, get some blubber.
Lob it in the crock pot, I'm in a top-notch hot spot. Chopping every dude that I see with a top knot.
I'm unhinged.
My gossip is the juiciest. I'm unstable, about to blow up in the spot like Vesuvius. With dubious intentions and deadline extensions, spaced out, pay attention when my name gets mentioned.
Make it when you come, make it when you go. When the time has come, don't come help you know.
Time has come, don't come help you know.